Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is Shelley and team telling you about the week beginning Monday, August 2nd, and ending at the new moon on Sunday, August 8th. And there aren't a lot of planetary shifts going on this week, mainly the new moon, so I will be giving that forecast at the end because it's Sunday anyway. And I am looking at the week beginning August 2nd also as the fourth quarter phase as we're coming into a new moon. So we are in that. Let's look it over. Let's see what needs to be weeded out and what new things need to be planted. Phase, but we're not really in the move forward begin, okay? And we are also getting heavily into the station of Uranus in Taurus. I mean, it's been on 14 degrees for a very long time, and it continues on 14 degrees of Taurus until it will, and it will be on 14 degrees of Taurus when it makes that retrograde. Which we will be talking about very soon. Not next week, but I believe it will be the week after. And Uranus will retrograde in, yes, on the 19th in Taurus. And so we are just feeling that slow down. If you happen to be an Aquarian or you have Aquarius rising, you may be noticing it a lot more. And also the house cusp in all of our birth charts that has Aquarius on it, you may be experiencing somewhat of a drag and a lag there. The internalization will be discussed when we get to the actual retrograde, but we are almost in the all outer planets our retrograde cycle. And so that's, you know, every year when we just kind of, it's sort of interesting because it's summer. And it's that, and they call them the dog days of summer, which means it's really hot. You know, people are not, well, it really actually was referring to a constellation, but it has come to mean that we're really under the sun. If we're in the northern hemisphere, obviously, not in the southern hemisphere. But so we are feeling that, you know, some days when you go out in that really, really hot weather, you know, you're just being drained. You're literally having the water removed from your body. So very important to be hydrating. But also these planets retrograde, all of them, boom, boom, boom. It's not the personal planets right now. So, you know, your mind and your love nature and your passions like Mars and, of course, the moon and sun don't retrograde. And so we still have a lot moving forward, but there is that sense of, like, things aren't going to happen until. So just understand that, and especially in the week before a new moon, you feel it more because we have lowered light, and light is it. Light's the everything, whether we realize it or not. And so, you know, at night, your room is darker, unless you live in New York City. No, you know what I mean. But even in other areas where, you know, there are streetlights, it's still darker in the room when you turn off the lights than when we're waxing into a full or on the full moon. So it's lowered energy. It's lowered information. Yeah, so we begin this week with the moon in Gemini at 4:46 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday, and it's a irritating morning, August 2nd, because the moon is square Mars in Virgo until 9:30 a.m. All of its Eastern Time, so you have to correct for your own. And so, you know, we are looking at, you know, some criticism energy, some teasing energy, some very different ways of getting the day to begin. You know, Gemini is a butterfly. It has a lot of things to think about. A lot of plates are twirling on sticks. And Mars in Virgo is passionate now. It's in Virgo about order, and let's do this in a practical and orderly way. Yeah, well, good luck. Good luck, Mars and Virgo. But, you know, why argue? Why fight over it? It's just a temporary moment in time. And after 9:30, Moon in Gemini goes towards a trine to the retrograde Saturn in Aquarius, while the Venus in Virgo is going to a trine to still direct, but not very fast moving, or moving at all, Uranus in Taurus. So there is a chance that we're going to be able to do some good reviewing under that. Look at your plans for the future. Look at your hopes and your goals. Look at your timing. Look at all of the stuff that Saturn in Aquarius is talking about. Look at the limitations and the issues that you're having with your electronics. You know, is this something you need to do? We are really being pushed hard on discovering, you know, what we individually, but also collectively, do not understand was needed in order to keep these things going in a way that's reliable. So, you know, is there anything you can do? You can get some information with the Moon in Gemini going trine retrograde Saturn in Aquarius. And that's complete at 1:19 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So, you know, that's pretty much your aspect for the day, and that's a good place to put your attention. Another thing is reviewing issues with friendships and group affiliations because of the Aquarius energy having to do with those two places. So Venus in Virgo in trine to Uranus and Taurus comes in exact at 2:53 a.m., and that's happening while the Moon in Gemini is going sextile Sun in Leo. Of course, a lot of us on the East Coast are sleeping at 3:30 a.m. when that takes place. But what it suggests is that, you know, you do have a window, if you're a night owl, to be making some kind of a purchase, perhaps a very practical thing with Venus in Virgo, but something new. A new way of dealing with finances or foods, or you could be investigating healthy diets and all that kind of thing. So we miss that. It's very harmonious energy when the Moon sextiles the Sun. But, you know, if you're on the West Coast, you get to have that. And so that's a good time to talk about some of the things that you discovered as you were on your quest with someone who matters, with someone that you care about or has some authority over what you're thinking. And the Moon in Gemini goes towards a sextile to Mercury in Leo at 8:12 a.m. And that's Tuesday, and that's also a good time for conversation. Now, one of the things we must mention is that the Mercury energy being so close to the Sun and having just had the exact conjunction on Sunday the 1st, this Mercury is still what we call combust, under the rays of the fire of the Sun. And so we talk about, you know, Mercury in Leo as a place where we can get a little bit overly identified with our communications and get kind of stubborn about them and, you know, make major pronouncements and such, and have very, you know, I can have difficulties with other people either hearing us or us hearing them. And in the combust, it is, you know, the Sun conjunct Mercury, or the Sun itself is taking over the mind and the conversations. So it becomes really important to see how much ego attachment we have in situations, because this is real potential during the combust, and it's a while. It's probably another week before Mercury gets far enough away to not be sort of absorbed by the sun's rays. So, you know, just be aware of that. Even when you have a sextil, and you're probably more likely to be able to have those communications, take advantage. And so that's 8:12 a.m. exact on Tuesday the 3rd, when Moon in Gemini sextils Mercury in Leo. You can see it sextiled the Sun a little less than 5 hours before. So the rest of the day, not so good, because Moon in Gemini must square Venus in Virgo. You know, it already had the issue with Mars. Now it's got Venus. And Venus may be a little bit lighter than Mars was, but it's still not going to be a comfy experience during that square, which is until 11:25 a.m. on Tuesday. And one of the funny issues that comes up with this is accelerated gossip. Because, you know, the love of critiquing, which comes through Venus in Virgo, Moon in Gemini, loves all the news, you know, curious, right? So we can also see a lot of that going on. And if you're aware of it, if you're aware of yourself doing it, let's say, well, you know, it isn't the highest frequency. Let's just put it that way. And usually, once you finish taking somebody else's measure, then you sort of have a little bit of feeling of vulnerability, you know. So be aware that can be in the mix. At the same time, we have that Leo Mercury going square Uranus and Taurus until 9:57 p.m., and that's while Moon in Gemini is going towards its monthly square to retrograde Neptune. Pisces, and that's overnight until 2:55 a.m. on Wednesday. So once we get into this afternoon of Tuesday, there is a lack of clarity, period, full stop. You know, don't think you've got the right information. Don't think it's time to communicate what you're thinking. Be careful with directions and travel. It's just not an easy time for the Gemini moon. And Mercury going square Uranus and Taurus till 9:57 p.m. is when some of those I know best energies are going to be communicated to Taurus. It doesn't take that, will not accept that, you know, has very different values. And especially if you're going to have a conversation about finance, forget about it. It's really going to be a kind of a nasty standoff, I think, especially with such blurred energy and the feelings and the instincts. Just forget it. Do something, you know, relatively unimportant on Tuesday afternoon. This changes on Wednesday, much better time to be out and about discussing and communing and conversation or online or wherever. Moon in Gemini trine to retrograde Jupiter in Aquarius until 3:38 p.m. Much more lighthearted, a lot of exploration of ideas, and especially going back over. Again, this is that fourth quarter, so this is very well supported. What kind of new concepts were you engaged in, and how are they looking now? Are you able to apply them, or do they need to expand more? These are things also in terms of friendships and groups and plans for the future. You know, it's a great time to get involved in all of that. Avoid, of course, Gemini moon. Has plenty of time to flutter about the garden. Pay attention to all the blossoms until moon enters Cancer at 5:17 p.m. Now, this is a cycle. It's also going to be very good. It's got a sextile from Moon in Cancer to Mars in Virgo until 1:12 a.m. on Thursday. So here's a good time for you to be involved in looking at those home family security issues with somebody who has a dynamic interest in making things as perfect as possible. That's Mars in Virgo. So this is a good time if you're there to have discussions with people who, you know, you have a common goal, you know. And this can also be related to health and diet, as Cancer is about nourishment. And Mars is also passionate about staying healthy. Well, you know, we've just gotten some, you know, unfortunate news. I mean, let's face it, there's like so much unfortunate news that we get every day. We have to kind of really practice detaching, but Moon in Cancer can be really affected by things like that, very vulnerable sensitivity in that particular combo. So, you know, we've heard that, you know, we have to keep our immune system strong. And by the way, you know, back to masks in certain places, people are demanding it. I just read that the Broadway theaters have decided, and they've really been knocked for a loop with having to close necessarily. Now they don't want to have problems. They opened, you know, so they're requiring vaccination. So this is some of the thing that will cause argument and anger, which is also Mars in Virgo. You know, what you feel about it is what you feel about it. But what we can look at is the fact that this is going to be happening. You know, businesses are, you know, allowed to require certain things or stop certain things on their premises. So I think, you know, we start to see how we're going to be working and managing with that kind of experience. But they are asking us, even the vaccinated, to be more cautious now. And, you know, it's really a shame. But we have to start looking at it. And this is a time with Moon in Cancer, sextile Mars in Virgo, to make some strategic decisions about how to safeguard your own personal health and or your own personal business life and work life, which is what Virgo is too. So that's a time to look at it and get some good answers for yourself. On Thursday, Moon in Cancer, sextile Uranus in Taurus, until 10:12 p.m. is your aspect for the day. And again, it's a stationary, almost stationary, very slow-moving Uranus right now. But you can also, again, here make some changes that can be beneficial. Look at the things that you want to change in terms of food or in the home. We're really looking the most at the kitchen, but it can also be the bedroom. And, you know, things that might help and things that could make you feel more secure, you know. And that could be about your finances, too. So also we have after that the Moon in Cancer sextile Venus in Virgo until 5:17 a.m. So even in the late night and the overnight, there is the ability to make some clear understandings about things that would work for your security and safety and nourishment. And the morning, Friday the 6th, has the Moon in Cancer's trine to Neptune retrograde in Pisces until 1:43 p.m. So you get up that morning, if you have time, this is a really good time to go into a meditative state or, you know, pull some cards and get some messages. And you may be seeing something come back in another time because it's a retrograde Neptune, but it is probably an important and helpful message. So open up and receive, okay? And that would be the way to work with that day. And you may also find yourself feeling more tuned into the needs of those others that may be sharing your home with you, or family members from your childhood. We have the monthly opposition now from Moon in Cancer to retrograde Pluto in Capricorn, and that's until 6:12 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday the 6th. So the afternoon and the evening, early evening, gets off to a difficult start with a definite change of energy for Moon in Cancer, which is not getting any support for emotional needs from Pluto. But there can be also the resistance to some of the things that need to transform in terms of structures and methods, which is what Pluto retrograde in Capricorn is really looking at. You know, what do we need to change? Deep level change, but can be quite also absorbed with outer world things. The Sun in Leo is going square Uranus and Taurus at 7:57 p.m., which can cause more discordant notes and suggesting that authority figures, another symbol, Sun in Leo, are definitely not in favor of some of those changes that you've been thinking about. So this is not the time, the afternoon of Friday, August 6th, to present what you've gathered, Moon in Cancer. Just keep it to yourself. And you have self-soothing time ahead, because after 6:12 p.m., the Cancer moon is void, of course, until it enters a Leo at 3:31 a.m. on Saturday the 7th. Now, moon in Leo. Well, this is also a difficult time. So, you know, every time we have shifts in planets, we have certain moon signs that have better or more difficult transits, and Leo is one that has the difficult issues with the other fixed sign planets. So we've got the opposition all day Saturday, to retrograde Saturn in Aquarius. This is Moon in Leo opposition. So 9:50 p.m. is when it's exact. So, again, some entertainment or romantic or ideas for children or, you know, those kinds of investments and things like that are getting a little bit of a kibosh on that opposition. That's, you know, you've got to look back over this to take some time. Moon and Leo, not happy about that. So there can be some dramatics here. I mean, Saturn in Aquarius is going to be very cold and probably silent in its own expression. So no matter what the moon in Leo pulls, you know, it won't work. Not against Saturn in Aquarius. It won't work. So then we have the moon in Leo going to the square to Uranus and Taurus in the late night, overnight, until 7:04 a.m. on Sunday. So the moon in Leo square, we've already had the sun in Leo square. So now we've just still got the stalemate on values and finance. And even, you know, relationship, you know, are we going to change something? You know, maybe, who knows? But here you are going right into the new moon now. After the square, moon joins the sun in Leo at 9:50 a.m., and there you have the new moon. Now, Sun Day, the 8th, is also what is called now, you know, this major portal you know, that they feel is opening a stargate in Leo. So I will remind you that, you know, last week I mentioned that the 7th day of August is actually the day when the 15th degree, or the midpoint of Leo, comes in. This new moon is at 16 degrees. It's just after the midpoint, which would have most likely been when they were working the energy of the first harvest festivals and calling it the beginning of fall. So we have this new moon activating this position just past it slightly. You see. So it's a powerful time. And it is the time, again, of looking ahead at what is coming. I mean, we've passed the midpoint of the year. We have passed through some of those dog days, but we are going to have more. It won't feel temperature-wise like fall, but that isn't at all what they were looking at. They weren't looking at the weather forecast on the news. They were looking at their stone calendars for the shadows or the light coming in a certain angle, which was telling them what they could expect to see in their environment. You know, it's a funny thing. Like I looked out my office window today at my river birch tree, and I saw some of the leaves are already, you know, sort of browning and dropping. This is not one of your magnificent autumn foliage trees at all. It starts pretty early. And this is, I looked at it and I went, how about that? You can see changes in the environment. So that's what they were looking at. Why? Because they were very close to the land. And they had to know when to start and when to stop and what to do and how long they had to get it done, etc. You know, so this was when the grains were being harvested, so vital to life. You know, we have to harvest it, we've got to turn it into flour, and we've got to find a way to preserve it. You know, get enough put aside. You know, so this is not something that we look at in modern life, but we do have that need. You know, we are looking now at, in the sign of Leo, we're looking at a financial energy, you know. So we are looking at what do we have, how is our kingdom, Leo, and, you know, what must we think about in order to secure the kingdom? That's the new moon in Leo. So, you know, this is where you set your intentions. Also, at every new moon, we're going to be looking at the Leo energies. What are they? How I am able to express myself in a way that is serving myself and others. How am I doing in my financial life in terms of investment is a Leo quality, but also how is the kingdom? You know, you have to take a look at it. You know, if you're a homeowner, how's the house? Do I need to do something? You know, how do I keep my kingdom in good shape? You know, and then there's also the kingdom of the body, you know, which with Leo is your circulatory system, your heart, and your spine. A spinal column. And so, you know, focus on intentions for these areas. Also, in the lighter side of it, you know, where can I get some entertainment happening? How can I keep myself happily occupied and enjoy? Because Leo is that also. As well as things about romance and children and all creative pursuits, So you're making your intentions here. And what we're looking at the moon, the new moon, and I have really begun to notice so many interesting things that I never used to see, because I was never seeing other astrology groups and seeing so many people communicate about astrology, as I do now with Facebook and everything. And I have noticed that there is very little emphasis at certain times on the fact that it is different when an aspect is approaching than when it's leaving. There's more power in the approach and the conjunction, and then we deal with it. Now we're processing it afterwards as it's a waning aspect or departing or a separating aspect. So in this new moon, what have we got? We have 16 degrees with this moon conjunct the sun in Leo. And the approaching aspect for this is now going to be the opposition to Jupiter, retrograde in Aquarius. So yes, there is also in the chart a fixed T-square. There is an opposition of this new moon to the Saturn retrograde, and then the square to the Uranus and Taurus. We've heard those aspects mentioned during the week. We've experienced those. As we sit in the new moon, we're processing, and some of our intentions can come out of what we have experienced. But what we're looking at coming out of this is also the fact that Mercury is sitting there at 23 degrees of Leo, and it is even closer to the opposition to Jupiter. Okay, so actually, Mercury is forming the point of what we call a yod, or a finger of God, which is the energy of inconjunct, which means it's not a trine, it's a 150 instead of a trine aspect. And so it's an adjustment aspect with the Pluto and Neptune that we've had retrograding now in their respective signs of Capricorn and Pisces. And so Mercury in Leo is not really, as it appears, able to easily deal with the need to consider these shifts that are necessary, and also the more psychic or subtle informations, or even spiritual information that could make something work well. So where Mercury is inclined to go with this now is a little bit overboard, let's say. So this is why we're looking at that opposition to Jupiter as a place of overdoing it. Probably in this case means overdoing it with the ego, what I want, you know, and that kind of thing. So we've got to be aware of it, on guard against it in ourselves, but we'll see it outside of us. You know, you'll see it a lot. And there's a lot going on in the outer world that you can imagine. This is going to be big in the outer world. I don't want to talk about it too much because I think you know. I think you're already there watching certain things happening in our government in the United States right now. And a heck of a lot is happening in the world. So, you know, we're going to see some kind of a pushback. You know, Jupiter is asking us to continue to expand our consciousness in the imagining, in the envisioning. But Mercury in Leo may be not able to quite get over what is. You know, has such a focus on what is. Again, the kingdom, etc. So we're going to have that is coming into focus when we go into next week, we'll get the Mercury opposition, and the Moon and the Sun will take a little longer to oppose Jupiter, but it will get there. We also have Venus in Virgo, as we've been talking about her, but she's going very soon into her opposition. She's already in orb of it in this chart to retrograde Neptune. And that is very uncomfortable for Venus in Virgo because she just wants it to be clear. Can we please just have clarity so that we can do things that need to get done? Boy, where am I hearing? I feel like I'm hearing a newscast somewhere and the echoing in my mind. You know, what are the fears, Neptune? And what is the misinformation, Neptune? And all of that stuff that's keeping us from being able to find that place of getting these things done. You know, Venus loves service. Venus wants things to be perfect and good and nurturing for everyone, and particularly herself as well, but people that she serves, you know. And so we're looking at this, and this is going to be, you know, a little bit of a tricky situation at this point in time. So once again, even though it's not the classic here, we are still immersed in things that have to do with the background issue of change versus the resistance to change, which has been in for this year and will continue in 2022. So watch this. Don't fall into despair over it. Expand vision is what I would say is the way to go. It's tricky, and it's hard when we get bombarded with so many things that are very disturbing. You know, we are all connected. I know it's like a sort of a, I don't know, gets to be an old phrase, but we are literally connected energetically just with all things, not just with other people, but with everything that is. Things that happen in another part of the world are felt by us, okay, and vice versa. So we begin to expand our awareness of what that means and how do we deal with it. Do we fall into the fear? Do we take a stand in a personal way and, you know, kind of block out, try to block it out? Or do we allow ourselves to expand our vision? Because they are talking about the third way, they being people who are tuned in to the energy levels. You know, you might have be watching podcasts from some of them, Lee Harris, you know, others. This is what we must be doing. We must be allowing ourselves to let go of the identity, which is what Leo is about. Let go of some of that identity with how everything is now or was, you know, so that we can have really innovative ways of visioning. So this is a power moment, Leo new moon, in that Stargate portal, in that midpoint of this sign, one of the pillar signs, as the fixed signs are. Archangels are on the fixed signs, the four directions, etc. This is a moment. And as we are moving into that shift of cycles, we are shifting a cycle here into preserving time, harvesting time. It is also time for you to look back at the harvest of your year And again, what do you want to keep from it, and how can you preserve that? If it's something that would be good to preserve, like a new understanding, a new habit that's good for you, all kinds of things you have harvested. Okay, so that's my take on this Leo new moon, and that is pretty much, you know, when I say it's going after this, the moon will make that conjunction to Mercury. Yes, it will do that, and it will be the aspect in the very early morning, 1:45 a.m. on Monday, the 9th, moon conjunction. Now you have your feelings and identity about what you think. They're all together. Yes, so just be aware of that. That won't be there very long. And so it goes. We do have the Venus opposition exact on Monday also. So when we get to next week, we have two planetary shifts to discuss as we're moving heavily into Virgo cycle. Mercury will enter that sign next week. Venus, however, will leave that sign and go to Libra. So that is what we will be discussing as we enter the week. That is the first quarter phase. And I do hope that you will spend some time with your process, because your vision is important for this week's new moon. And I'll say goodbye for now.